Hear the words of Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. Indeed, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, and they make it a place of springs, the early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in a tent of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Says the word of the Lord.
Well, I don't like to use the word stole, so I'll use the word borrowed. A phrase this morning that's used by a lot of organizations and a lot of, it's just a phrase that you hear a lot, and it's a phrase that young life uses a lot. You were made for this, to try to draw students into the life that's offered through the ministry and work that they do. And as I read Psalm 84 this week and meditated on it and prayed through it multiple times, this phrase just kept coming to my mind. As you read through Psalm 84 and you hear the cry of the psalmist's heart, as the psalmist talks about that journey to be in the house of the Lord, you get this sense that this is why we were created. To live in relationship with God, to worship the Lord daily, to be in the dwelling place, in the house of the Lord. And my hope this morning is that you will hear out of this psalm two things. First and foremost, an invitation from you. And then secondly, an invitation to others that we have the opportunity to offer. So I want to begin again with, and I'm just going to read a couple verses, verses 1 and 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The psalmist is imagining what it's like to be in the temple, to be taking part in worship of God. And as the psalmist thinks about those things and meditates upon those things, his heart begins to overflow with joy and love and desire to be in the house of the Lord. Now in the Old Testament, the temple was the place where the presence of the Lord was with the people. And so for them, it wasn't just going to the temple, and it wasn't just about being in this place. It was that the presence of the living God, as it says, was in this place. And so for them to walk into the courts, to walk into the temple, was to enter into the presence of the living God. And if you can imagine these pilgrimages that happened as they went to the courts, and then these times when they were away from the courts, those periods of time when they were not in God's presence, where they were not in worship, they would begin to long to be in the presence, to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know if any of you experience this. Sometimes when I'm traveling or I've been gone for a couple weeks, my heart begins to long to be in the house of the Lord, to be in the presence of God and amongst the presence of God's people. Or sometimes those opportunities that I have when I'm not preaching or not facilitating worship, I'm just there participating in the worship of God, Those moments, there's times when I begin to long for those. My heart begins to cry out for those opportunities. And when the psalmist is talking about that here, the longing of the soul faints to be in worship of God. The heart and the flesh are singing for that joy experience in the presence of God. And what I would say this morning is that this is our heart's desire. From the time we are born, our heart's desire is to be in the presence of the Lord. Our heart cries out for that, cries out to be in that relationship with God, and it cries out whether we know it and identify it or not. You were made for this. Our deepest desire is to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And there's good news in this. Listen to verses 3 and 4. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. The psalmist gives this image of a bird that's come and kind of found a crevice in the stone of the temple, close to the altar even. And this bird kind of looks and determines that that's a place where I can rest. That's a place where I can bring my young. The bird welcomes itself into the house of the Lord and finds a place of rest, of dwelling, a place where the bird can bring its young and find a home. Now, I guess it's possible that the bird asked God's permission to do that, but I think what the psalmist is alluding to here is that here's this bird, and it's not like it takes the time to say, am I welcome here? But as it's looking for a home, a place to find its nest, it sees this little hole, this crevice, and it thinks to itself as much as birds think to themselves, hey, that would be a perfect home for me and my family. And so it just goes and rests and builds a nest and dwells there. Now, Scripture talks a lot about how birds are very insignificant in comparison to humanity. And yet there's a number of verses that talk about God watching over the birds to help us realize how much God watches over and cares and loves us. And just off the top of my head, I listed a few. Matthew 6, and when it talks about worries and anxieties, it talks about the birds of the field, how God takes care of them, how much more will God take care of us. The parable of the mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds is planted and grows into the largest of shrubs or trees, depending on which version you're reading. And the birds of the air come and find their rest in its shade, on its limbs. The parable speaks to how we can find our rest within God's kingdom. And the point being, I believe, that if there's a place for the insignificant bird in the house of the Lord, well then certainly there's a place for you and a place for me. Humanity's created in God's image, created with this desire to be in relationship, to dwell with the Lord. We are invited into God's presence. And so if there would be anyone here that as you think about dwelling in the presence of the Lord would say, oh, I'm not worthy to be there. Even the bird finds a place in the house of the Lord. And if the bird can find a place to dwell with the Lord, certainly you and me and all of humanity that's been extended that invitation can find a place in the house of the Lord. And so we have this desire, and we're welcome to be there. And so what do? Verses 5 through 7, happy are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. The Valley of Baca is understood to be a place, a dry valley.
Yet as those who come to worship the Lord on their way to the temple are making that journey to God's presence, as they walk through those dry valleys, they bring life. They bring water. The springs come up, and they're walking there in strength. In the strength of the Lord. Our longings and our desires begin to be met, even as we journey to be in the presence of God. It's such a deep longing, such a deep longing in us that even the journey to that place is blessed by God. This is an incredible image, and I wonder how much this reflects our journey to First Presbyterian Church this morning. How often we wake up and our hearts crying out to be in worship of God, to be in the presence of God and one another, to come and to cry out in joy to the living God who promises to meet us in this place. As we desire to be in the presence of God, we come and we come sometimes to this place. And yet even here, I think a lot of us would agree, sometimes something's missing. It's just not quite meeting that desire that we have.
Well, I believe verse 8 and 9 can kind of help meet us there. It says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. And behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed.
Verse 9, the psalmist kind of steps aside and begins to pray a blessing from God upon the king, the anointed one, the one who protects them. So even as the psalmist is journeying and experiencing the blessings of God and making this walk out of God's strength, in doing so he prays for the leadership of his country. Praise for the king. Praise for the anointed one. Now, as the psalmist turns his eyes to the king of Israel, I believe we turn our eyes to the true king, to the anointed one. And we have a privilege now on this side of Christ that the psalmist didn't have. He journeyed to the temple. And so for us, this journey to the presence of God is met in Jesus Christ. He is the King. He is the Anointed One. And through Christ, we can come into the dwelling place of the Lord. Now, I want to kind of step outside a little bit because it got me thinking this week and said, well, then where do we encounter Jesus? If Jesus is where we come into the presence of God, if Jesus is how we come into that dwelling place, where do we encounter Christ? And these are just three quick thoughts I had on that. Places that raise our awareness of God. And so a sanctuary could be a place like that, where as we enter in, we get this sense that God's presence is here and our awareness is drawn to God's presence in our lives. That could be standing over the Grand Canyon, that could be sitting in your living room, that could be looking out of the window at the birds. Be looking at a flower, walking through the fields, walking through the streets. But the places where we realize that our awareness of the presence of God is being elevated. Another place Scripture tells us that we can empower Jesus is in the eyes of the needy, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked. Remember Jesus says, where you clothed and where you fed and where you gave drink, you were doing that for me. And so we can encounter Christ as we serve and as we love people with the people that we meet. And I believe that we encounter Jesus with one another as we live together in true Christian authentic community. Because to be in the presence of one another is to be in the presence of Christ with one another. And that's kind of where I want to bring in this idea of the good news here. Is that we have the opportunity in Jesus Christ to dwell with the Lord anywhere, anytime, any place, because the Lord dwells within us. Remember, Paul says that we temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple in Jerusalem is gone. And God's presence, at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, exploded out of the temple, the curtain was ripped in two, and God's presence entered into the world in a way that had not been in the world prior to that. And Jesus, when he left, at the ascension, says, I will send another. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. So Jesus Christ is present in us. And so while we think about the desires of our heart and needing them, and we think about this journey, that for the psalmist was a journey through a valley to the temple of the Lord, that journey for us is straight to the person of Jesus Christ, who comes and meets us in this place, and through the power of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we ourselves can become the presence of Jesus Christ. I read verses 10 through 12.
For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
This place of trusting in the Lord through Jesus Christ. I mean, the psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper, just a person out by the gate of the courts, to be that close to the presence of God than spend a day, thousands of days, anywhere else. And what I would say to us this morning is how much better for us to have the opportunity to have the person of Jesus Christ in the presence of God dwell within us. I mean, that's incredible. These people walked miles and miles and miles and made these journeys. And people in our world still do it today, trying to come into the presence of God. And the promise of the gospel is that through Jesus Christ, the presence of God comes to us. Comes and dwells within us. We become the dwelling place in the house of God. And so there's something great and something incredible when we gather in corporate worship, because the presence of God is escalated as we gather with one another. But we can be in the house of the Lord and experiencing the presence of God by ourselves, in time, in a place, anywhere, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So do we trust? Where our trust meets our desires, Jesus Christ comes and meets those places within us. Lights the paths, warns us and protects us. But what I would say this morning is don't let Satan steal that promise from you. Sometimes Satan wants to go after that trust. I have this relationship with Christ, the living God dwells within me and among us. And Satan says, oh no, you're not worthy of that. So, no, no, even the bird finds a place to dwell in the house. Christ has redeemed us. And in Christ, we can enter that place as well as the Lord. Where we are welcome, we are met by Christ, and we can dwell eternally with the Lord. And that eternity begins today, every day. John 15:4, Jesus says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. To be in a relationship with Christ means that we dwell one another with the Lord. Us and the Lord and us. Incredible, incredible thing. It's the good news of the gospel. That's the invitation that I believe this psalm extends to us. Enter into the dwelling place of the Lord, experience the presence of God in our daily lives. And I also believe that this psalm then pushes us outward to extend this invitation to others. And this is just quickly how I think that looks. That if our heart's desire is to be in the house of the Lord, our hearts cry out, then every person that we know is seeking out to meet that desire. And they're turning to anything and everything around them to try to meet the desire, what we at times call those core longings that we have in our heart. And when we go to Christ, we will turn to anything and everything to try to meet those needs. And so for us to have eyes that are open to that, what that means is we can interact with the world. The things that those in the world are turning to meet that desire, we can help reframe for them and help them to see that it's actually a desire for the Lord that you're looking for. You're trying to meet it in this. And we turn to everything. We turn to partners, to spouses, to children, to jobs, to things of this world, to our sports, our hobbies, to our food, to our drink. We turn to all of these things and we're trying to meet this desire that's there, placed within us, that's a desire for the Lord. And so when we begin to graciously walk alongside others, we can help them in time begin to see that, hey, this desire within you is actually a desire for the Lord. And by the way, here's good news for you. You are welcome in the presence of God. God desires to meet that longing in your life. And you're welcome there. And you're on this journey, and you know what? I'm going to walk along this journey with you. Side by side. And when we understand the presence of God in us, you realize what we're doing is we're taking Jesus to them, whether they know it or not. Walking alongside, journeying with them. And as we bring Christ to them through our presence, those needs that they have for Christ will begin slowly to be met. And how incredible will it be one day to help them experience and step into a trusting and loving relationship with Jesus Christ. What I'd say is this not what Christ has done for us? Is this not what this table, which in a few moments we'll go to, represents for us God's people? How Christ has come, has walked alongside us, met us where we were at, journeyed with us in our life, and welcomed us into his presence. To that place where we, hopefully, in time, and finally said, yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Take my life. It's yours. My desire is to dwell with you in the presence of the Lord today and always and for all eternity. I just want to invite you to spend a few minutes in prayer and reflection and ask the Lord what He desires to speak to you in that message.